in one of my previous videos, I said that I would start making videos on Catholic prophecy about how we are moving into a chastisement where God's going to punish the entire world for sins, but then he's also going to set everything right. Before I get into that, I do want to make a distinction between public revelation and private revelation. Public revelation are revelations from God that are preserved for us in the Bible and sacred tradition. Public revelation ended with the death of the last apostle, and these are things that everyone must believe in. Private revelation are messages from God that are given to people since the end of public revelation all the way up through the centuries, including today. But they don't rise to the same level as public revelation. Nobody is bound to believe in. Nobody has to believe in these. They are not added to the deposit of faith. Now, the church will either approve or disapprove of these messages, and you're only getting approved messages from me, but they are not required for belief. But, like I said, they have been right so far, which brings me to Venerable Bartholomew Holzhauser. Venerable Holzhauser belongs to a category that I consider to be the minor Catholic prophets. These are people throughout the centuries, beginning in the 3rd and 2nd century, that have been given these messages from heaven on future events, most of which have already happened, many of which have not happened. Now, most of these minor prophets will just give a few paragraphs on one subject. One will say, this is going to happen over here. Another one will say, this is going to happen over there. And then another one will say on another subject that this will happen over there. And you kind of have to read through all of them and put them in an order to try to get a timeline of what's going to happen. But Venerable Holzhauser is different. He gives a very good synopsis of the whole picture. It's very lengthy, but he kind of goes through everything that has happened and is going to happen from the Protestant Reformation through the Antichrist. And so I think he's a really good starting point to give you an overview of everything that's going to happen. And then we'll get into some of the other prophets later on down the road to lend some support to Venerable Holzhauser. Okay, so Venerable Holzhauser lived in the 17th century. He was born in the early 1613. He lived to about 1658. I'm not real sure on those dates, but those are pretty close. So I do want you to keep that in mind when he starts talking about things that clearly for him would be decades, even a century or two in his future, but for us have already happened within the last 2 centuries. So just keep that in mind, okay? Venerable Holzhauser divides church history into 7 ages. The first age is from Jesus Christ and lasts until the first persecution under the pagan emperor Nero. The second is from Nero to Constantine. The third from Constantine to Charlemagne. The fourth from Charlemagne to Charles V, the pontificate of Leo X, and the heresy of Martin Luther. The fifth age is from Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation until now, moving forward. And then the sixth age will begin with the arrival of the great Catholic monarch and the angelic pope. And the seventh age begins with the arrival of the Antichrist. With that, let us begin. Venerable Holzhauser writes, "The fifth period of the church, which began circa 1520, will end with the arrival of the holy pope and the powerful monarch who is called Help from God, because he will restore everything in Christ. The fifth period is one of affliction, desolation, humiliation, and poverty for the church. Jesus Christ will purify his people through cruel wars, famine, plagues, epidemics, and other horrible calamities. He will also afflict and weaken the Latin church with many heresies. It is a period of defections, calamities, and exterminations. Those Christians who survive the sword, plague, and famines will be few on earth. Nations will fight against nations and will be desolated by internal dissensions. During this period, the wisdom of God guides the church in several ways. 1, by chastising the church so that riches may not corrupt her completely. 2, by interposing the Council of Trent like a light in the darkness so that the Christians who see the light may know what to believe. 3, by setting St. Ignatius and his society in opposition to Luther and other heretics. 4, by carrying to remote lands the faith which has been banned in most of Europe. Are we not to fear during this period that the Mohammedans will come again working out their sinister schemes against the Latin Church? During this period, many men will abuse the freedom of conscience conceded to them. It is of such men that Jude the Apostle spoke when he said, 'These men blaspheme whatever they do not understand, and they corrupt whatever they know naturally as irrational animals do. They feast together without restraint, feeding themselves, grumbling, murmurs, walking according to their lusts. Their mouth speaketh proud things. They admire people for the sake of gain. They bring about division, sensual men, having not the Spirit. During this unhappy period, there will be laxity in divine and human precepts. Discipline will suffer. The holy canons will be completely disregarded, and the clergy will not respect the laws of the church. Everyone will be carried away and led to believe and do what he fancies, according to the manner of the flesh. They will ridicule Christian simplicity. They will call it folly and nonsense. But they will have the highest regard for advanced knowledge, and for the skill by which the axioms of the law, the precepts of morality, the holy canons, and religious dogmas are clouded by senseless questions and elaborate arguments. As a result, no principle at all, however holy, authentic, ancient, and certain it may be, will remain free of censure, criticism, false interpretation, modification, and delimitation by man. These are evil times, a century full of dangers and calamities. Heresy is everywhere, and the followers of heresy are in power almost everywhere. Bishops, prelates, and priests say they are doing their duty, that they are vigilant, and that they live as befits their state and life. In like manner, therefore, they all seek excuses. But God will permit a great evil against the church. Heretics and tyrants will come suddenly and unexpectedly. They will break into the church while bishops, prelates, and priests are asleep. They will enter Italy and lay Rome to waste. They will burn down the churches and destroy everything. The sixth age of the Spirit commences with the powerful monarch and the holy pontiff, as previously mentioned, and will last until the appearance of the Antichrist. This sixth epoch of the church, the time of consolation, begins with the holy pope and the powerful emperor and terminates with the reign of the Antichrist. This will be an age of solace wherein God will console his church after the many mortifications and afflictions she has endured in the fifth period. For all nations will be brought to the unity of the true Catholic faith. The sacerdoci will flower more than ever, and men will seek the kingdom of God in all solicitude. The Lord will give good pastors to the church. Vocations will be abundant as never before. And all men will seek only the kingdom of God and his justice. Men will live in peace, and this will be granted because people will make their peace with God. They will live under the protection of the great monarch and his successors. The great monarch will come when the Latin church is desolated, humiliated, and afflicted with many heresies. The sixth epoch of the world, which commences with the emancipation of the people of Israel and the restoration of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem, will endure until the advent of Jesus Christ. For likewise, in this epoch, the people of Israel will be consoled to a very high degree by the Lord, our God, who will deliver them from the captivity of Babylon. The kingdoms, the nations, and the people will submit to the Roman Empire, furiously vanquished by the very powerful and very illustrious monarch who will govern during 56 years, rendering the peace of the universe and reigning alone until the advent of Jesus Christ, and even after him. Thus, in the sixth age, God will delight his church with the greatest prosperity. The angel is the great monarch. From heaven means he will be Catholic. Clothed in clouds implies he will be humble and modest. Rainbow, he will bring peace to the world. Sunshine refers to his wisdom. Talents and title, feet, refers to his power and zeal. Open book, he will rule with justice. Right and left foot, he will exercise power all over the world. Lion voice, he will put fear into the wicked. The golden crown refers to his Holy Roman Empire. Cutlass means his victorious army. The other angel refers to the Pope. Other angels are other helpers of the great monarch, who will help him crush the Turks. During the fifth period, we saw only calamities and devastation, oppression of Catholics by tyrants and heretics, executions of kings, and conspiracies to set up republics. But by the hand of God Almighty, there occurs so wonderful a change during the sixth period that no one can humanly visualize it. The powerful monarch, who is sent from God, will uproot every republic. He will submit everything to his authority, and he will show great zeal for the true Church of Christ. The empire of the Mohammedans will be broken up, and the monarch will reign in the east as well as the west. All nations will come to worship God in the true and Catholic Roman faith. There will be many saints and doctors of the church on earth. Peace will reign over the whole earth because God will bind Satan for a number of years before the days of the Son of Perdition. No one will be able to pervert the word of God, since during the sixth period there will be an ecumenical council, which will be the greatest of all councils. By the grace of God, by the power of the great monarch, by the authority of the holy pontiff, and by union of all the most devout princes, atheism and every heresy will be banished from the earth. The council will define the true sense of Scripture, and this will be beloved and accepted by everyone. when everything has been ruined by war, when Catholics are hard-pressed by traitorous co-religionists and heretics, then the hand of Almighty God will work a marvelous change, something apparently impossible according to human understanding. There will arise a valiant monarch anointed by God. He will be a Catholic, a descendant of Louis IX, yet a descendant of an ancient imperial German family born in exile. He will rule supreme in temporal matters. The Pope will rule supreme in spiritual matters at the same time. Persecution will cease, and justice shall rule. Religion seems to be suppressed, but by the changes of entire kingdoms, it will be made more firm. He will root out false doctrines and destroy the rule of the Muslims. His dominion will extend from east to the west. All nations will adore God, their Lord, according to the Catholic teaching. There will be many wise and just men. The people will love justice, and peace will reign over the whole earth. For divine power will bind Satan for many years until the coming of the Son of Perdition. The reign of the great ruler may be compared with that of Caesar Augustus, who became emperor after his victory over his enemies, thereby giving peace to the world, also with the reign of Constantine the Great, who was sent by God, after severe persecution to deliver both the church and state. By his victories on water and land, he brought the Roman Empire under subjugation, which he then ruled in peace. On account of a terrible war, Germany will wail. France will be the cause of all the woe. Germany will be miserably wounded. All will be impoverished. England shall suffer much. The king shall be killed. After desolation has reached its peak in England, peace will be restored and England will return to the Catholic faith with greater fervor than ever before. After a world war will come a new period in which two mighty ones will face each other. The wrangle between these two will begin in the second half of the 20th century. It will overthrow mountains and silt up rivers. A great change will come to pass, such as no mortal man will have expected. Heaven and hell will confront each other in this struggle. Old states will perish, and light and darkness will be pitted against each other with swords. But it will be swords of a different fashion. With these swords, it will be possible to cut up the skies and split the earth. A great lament will come over all mankind, and only a small batch will survive the storm, the pestilence, and the horror. And neither of the two adversaries will conquer nor be vanquished. Both mighty ones will lie on the ground, and a new mankind will come into existence. God possesses the key to everything. Blessed is he who will then be able to praise him, having obeyed all his commandments. And the great monarch of the world will create new laws for the new mankind, and will cause a new age to begin, in which there will be only one flock and one shepherd, and peace will be of long, long duration, for the glory of God in heaven and on earth. Now the great monarch will also dominate over all the beasts of the earth, that is to say, over the barbarian nations, over the rebellious people, over the heretic republics, and over all men dominated by their evil passions. It is in that age that the relation of the sixth spirit of the Lord will be known, that is to say, the spirit of wisdom that God diffuses over all the surfaces of the globe in those times. For men will fear the Lord their God. They will observe the law and serve it with all their heart. The sciences will be multiplied and complete on the earth. The Holy Scriptures will be unanimously understood, without controversy, without the errors of heresies. Men will be enlightened so much as in the natural sciences and in the celestial sciences. Finally, the sixth church, the Church of Philadelphia, is the type of the sixth age. For Philadelphia signifies friendship of brothers, and again, guarding the heritage in union with the Lord. Now all these characters convene perfectly in the sixth age, in which they will have loved, concord, and perfect peace, and in which the powerful monarch will have to consider almost the entire world as his heritage. He will deliver up the earth, with the aid of the Lord his God, from all his enemies, of ruin, and of all evil. Okay, so there it is. It's lengthy, like I said, but it does give a good overview of what all the Catholic prophets say. So what is that overview? Well, from the Protestant Reformation moving forward, the world moves against Catholicism. They get rid of the kings and the Catholic kingdoms and set up republics. And as a result of that, then the world devolves into degeneration and sin and all this stuff. And so God sends a punishment in the form of wars and plagues, pestilence, and a lot of people are going to die, like probably over half of the population. And then he will send a great king to reestablish Christendom. And virtually everyone's going to be Catholic. There's not going to be any controversies, and we're going to have an era of peace. That is supposed to be short. It's only going to be about 40 years, and then the Antichrist comes. And now, towards the end, it does talk about two mighty ones that will start wrangling towards the end of the 20th century. Clearly, that's the United States and Russia. It talks about them using swords, but swords of a different fashion that will split the sky and split the earth and level mountains. Clearly, that is nuclear weapons. And it also says that neither one of them will be victorious, but they will both lay down. So that tells me that the Cold War is not over, and that we have a war between the United States and Russia in our future that's going to be very, very brutal. And that's, in my opinion, probably going to be the beginning. Right now, I think we're moving into the chastisement, but I think that's when it's going to really, really, really be bad. So anyway, that's just food for thought. Have a nice day.